All right, so Donald Trump, he's at it again,
Yeah.
you know, and this time it's all about the Panama Canal. He's making these claims online saying that Panama is basically ripping off the U.S. with the fees they're charging for ships to go through the canal.
Right.
And we've got some interesting stuff to dig into today to try and figure out what's really going on.
Yep.
We got two news articles and a pretty in-depth briefing to go through.
So
So
it's good.
let's dive in.
Yeah, the language he's using is interesting, right? Like these terms like ripped off, never meant for Panama to profit. It really feels like he's trying to tap into the sense of like, you know, America being wronged. It's meant to provoke a reaction for sure. And I think it's definitely working.
It's definitely getting people talking, and it's not
Yeah.
just like a general rant, you know? He's specifically saying the U.S. Navy and
Yeah.
corporations are the ones getting the bad deal.
Right. And he's framing it as like, you know, the U.S. giving up control of the canal back in 77.
Right.
That was supposed to be this big gesture of goodwill, you know, not an opportunity for Panama to basically just take advantage.
Interesting. Okay. So we've got some tension brewing here for sure. But before we get too caught up in like the back and forth,
Yeah.
I think it's safe to assume that most people listening to this already know that the Panama Canal is kind of a big deal, right?
Right.
But how big of a deal is it really? Like, how important is it for the U.S.?
It's absolutely crucial, both for trade and for the military. You know, just imagine a cargo ship going from like New York to Los Angeles. Without the canal, it would have to go all the way around South America, which would take weeks longer and cost a fortune in fuel.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Trump himself has talked about how important that shortcut is for the U.S. Navy.
Right, so they can quickly move ships between the Atlantic and the Pacific.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's not just some random ditch that someone dug. This thing's actually a linchpin,
It is.
which honestly makes this whole like retake the canal talk from Trump even crazier. Like, is that even something he could actually do?
I mean, legally speaking, it would be an absolute nightmare. The 1977 treaty that gave control to Panama, that's not just some casual agreement, you know. It's a binding international deal breaking that would cause a massive diplomatic crisis for the U.S.
Yeah, I bet other countries wouldn't exactly be thrilled to see the U.S. just like muscle its way back in after all this time.
No, not at all.
Talk about a bad look on the world stage.
Exactly. And practically speaking, how would that even work? Sending troops, forcing a new treaty, it just doesn't seem realistic. So to me, it seems more like he's trying to apply pressure, you know, maybe a strong arm tactic to try and get those fees lowered.
Okay, that makes a little more sense, I guess. So Panama's in charge now, but how did the U.S. even get involved with the canal in the first place?
Well, it's a long story
Okay.
full of ambition and engineering marvels, and also some pretty dark chapters, too. Actually, the French were the first to try and build a canal through Panama back in the 1880s.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember learning about that. Didn't go so
Yeah,
well,
it
right?
was a complete disaster. They had landslides, engineering problems you wouldn't believe, and then these outbreaks of diseases like malaria and yellow fever that killed thousands of workers.
It's crazy how many obstacles they had to overcome
It
to build
was.
this thing.
Yeah, and eventually the U.S. took over the project in 1904 and finished it about 10 years later at a huge cost, both in terms of money and sadly lives.
Yeah, it's pretty sobering to think about 38,000 American workers died from disease during the construction.
Yeah.
That is just heartbreaking.
It was a monumental undertaking for sure. But by 1914, the canal was open and it totally revolutionized global shipping. You know, no more dangerous trips around South America. Suddenly, you could just cut right through Panama.
It's amazing how much it changed things.
Yeah, but as we know, the U.S. eventually gave it up.
Right, with that 1977 treaty with Carter.
Yeah, and Trump calls that decision foolish. He sees it as the U.S. just giving away this incredibly valuable asset.
Right. So what was the thinking back then? Why hand over control?
Well, it was the Cold War, and the U.S. was really trying to improve relations with Latin America. Many people saw the treaty as a step towards a more equal partnership, you know, acknowledging Panama's right to its own territory. But now you've got Trump basically saying that the U.S. got played.
Okay, so we've got historical baggage, we've got arguments over money,
Right.
and we've got Trump making these pretty serious threats.
Yeah.
But there's another player here that we can't ignore. China. What's their angle with the canal? They're getting pretty active down there.
Yeah, China's involvement adds a whole other layer to this situation. They've been investing heavily in ports and infrastructure projects all around the canal.
Yeah, one of the articles mentions a Chinese company buying Panama's largest Atlantic port for like $900 million.
Right.
That's a huge investment.
It is.
And wasn't there something about another Chinese company building this massive container port right at the entrance to the canal?
That's right. And while China hasn't come right out and said they want to take over the canal themselves,
yeah,
all this activity is definitely raising eyebrows in Washington.
Mm, I bet.
It plays right into this bigger story of China challenging U.S. influence around the world.
Okay, so we've got this historical baggage, we've got these economic tensions,
right,
and now we've got this geopolitical rivalry thrown into the mix.
Yeah.
This is getting complicated.
It is.
But let's get back to Trump's retake the canal talk.
Okay.
You said a military takeover is pretty much impossible.
Right.
But could he be using this as leverage for something else?
Hmm.
Maybe trying to push for a new treaty that's more favorable to the U.S.?
It's definitely possible. I mean, yeah. Trump's known for his unpredictable negotiating style.
Right.
He could be trying to rattle Panama's cage and force them to the bargaining table.
So even if he's not sending in the Marines, he's still trying to make waves and shake things up.
Exactly.
How is Panama reacting to all of this? I imagine they're not just sitting back and taking it right.
No, they're definitely not. They've come out pretty strongly defending their management of the canal and saying that Trump's claims about unfair pricing are completely baseless.
Okay.
They're pointing out that everyone pays the same fees.
Right.
No special treatment for anyone.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They don't want to seem like they're playing favorites.
Right.
And risk undermining their own authority.
Exactly.
But they're also walking a tightrope here,
yay,
right?
Yay.
They have to stand up for themselves. But they also can't afford to completely antagonize the U.S.
Absolutely. It's a delicate balancing act.
Yeah, especially with China kind of lurking in the background.
Right.
This whole situation is like this high-stakes poker game with all these different players at the table.
It really is.
Well, this deep dive just got a whole lot deeper.
Yeah.
We've explored Trump's claims. We dug into the history of the canal.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten a glimpse of these really complex power dynamics that are at play here.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
But there's still so much more to unpack.
Yeah.
We'll tackle all of that and more in part two of our deep dive.
Looking forward to it.
So stay tuned, because things are about to get even more interesting.
I bet they are.
All right, so we're back and ready to dive back into this whole Panama Canal situation.
Things are heating up.
Last time we were talking about how Panama is pushing back against Trump's accusations, and it's starting to feel like this big geopolitical chess match is unfolding.
It really is a fascinating situation with all these different interests and historical tensions.
Yeah, for sure. And then you've got China kind of looming in the background, which adds a whole other layer of complexity to it.
Absolutely.
So let's pick up where we left off. Panama is pushing back, but what are their options here? Like, what can they actually do in this situation?
Oh, they're in a tough spot for sure. They have to defend their sovereignty, you know, their right to manage the canal. But they also know that poking the bear too much could have some pretty serious consequences.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to stand their ground without provoking the U.S. too much.
Right.
So what are they actually doing?
Well, I think they're playing it pretty smart. They've been highlighting the fact that the canal operates on a level playing field.
Okay.
All countries pay the same transit fees, no exceptions.
So they're basically saying, look, we're not singling out the U.S. here. Everyone's treated equally.
Exactly.
That kind of undermines Trump's whole argument that the U.S. is being ripped off.
It does. And they're also really emphasizing the economic benefits that the canal brings to Panama.
Right.
It's a huge source of revenue for them, creates a ton of jobs.
Yeah.
And it's understandable that they're pretty protective of it.
Makes sense. I mean, it's kind of their golden goose, right? They can't just let someone waltz in and dictate how it's run.
Exactly. Especially after they fought so hard to gain control of it in the first place.
Yeah. And let's not forget that the 1977 treaty was a major diplomatic victory for Panama.
It was.
It was a symbol of their independence, their sovereignty.
Right.
Backing down now in the face of pressure from the U.S. would be a huge blow to their national pride.
It would.
So they're standing firm for now. But what about the U.S.? If a military takeover is off the table, what else could they do to try and get what they want? Could they, like, hit Panama with sanctions or something?
Well, that's definitely a possibility, but it would be a pretty risky move.
Okay.
The U.S. could try to leverage their economic power, you know, by imposing trade restrictions or limiting financial aid.
Right.
But doing that could easily backfire. It could hurt U.S. businesses that rely on the canal. And it could even push Panama closer to China.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
We keep coming back to China and all of this.
Right.
They're like the wild card in this whole game.
They are.
What's their perspective on all this?
Right.
Have they made any official statements?
Publicly, they've been pretty quiet. they're probably happy to just sit back and watch the U.S. and Panama tangle with each other. But I'm sure behind the scenes, they're paying close attention and looking for any opportunity to advance their own interests.
Yeah, it's like everyone's playing this high-stakes game of 4D chess.
Exactly.
Trying to anticipate each other's moves and figure out how to come out on top.
And China's long game is becoming increasingly clear. They're making strategic investments, building relationships, and expanding their influence throughout Latin America.
Right.
The Panama Canal is just one piece of that larger puzzle.
Okay, so with all these competing interests and these power plays going on, what's the most likely outcome here? Is this going to end in some kind of showdown, or is there a chance for a peaceful resolution?
I think a negotiated settlement is the most likely scenario. Neither the U.S. nor Panama wants a full-blown conflict. It would be way too damaging for both sides.
Yeah, everyone loses in a war, especially when it's over something as vital as the Panama Canal.
Right.
But what would a compromise even look like in this situation?
Well, it would probably involve some concessions from both sides.
Okay.
Maybe Panama agrees to, like, a slight reduction in fees or offers some other incentives to U.S. ships.
Right. And in return, the U.S. would have to back down from their threats
right.
and acknowledge Panama's sovereignty over the canal.
Exactly. It would require a delicate balancing act, for sure.
Yeah.
But a compromise would ultimately be in everyone's best interests.
Okay, so maybe we can avoid a full-blown crisis here.
Mm-hmm.
But even if this particular dispute gets resolved, it feels like this whole situation is a symptom of a much bigger issue.
I agree. The Panama Canal controversy is kind of a microcosm of the shifting global landscape, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You've got the rise of China, the U.S. trying to maintain its dominance,
right.
and all these smaller countries trying to navigate this increasingly complex and volatile world.
And the Panama Canal, with its strategic importance,
right.
is right at the heart of that global power struggle.
Exactly. And as we move forward, I think we're going to see more and more of these types of conflicts emerge. Resources are becoming scarcer. Competition is intensifying, and the rules of the game are changing.
So this isn't just about a canal anymore. It's about the future of global power and the role the U.S. will play in that new world order.
Exactly. And the choices we make now, the way we respond to these challenges,
yeah.
will have profound implications for the future.
This is getting pretty heavy. But we're not done yet. There's still so much more to explore.
There is.
We've got to dig deeper into the potential fallout from this controversy and what it all means for the future of the Panama Canal and the U.S.'s role in the region.
We do.
We'll dive into all of that in part three.
Looking forward to it.
So stay tuned because we're just getting started. All right, so we're back for the final part of our Panama Canal deep dive. And we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
We talked about Trump's claims, Panama's pushback, China's growing influence, and this sense that this whole thing is about way more than just some fees.
Yeah, it really does feel like it's touching on some of the biggest shifts happening in the world right
now. Exactly.
Yeah.
So as we wrap this up, let's zoom out a bit. What are the big takeaways here? What does this Panama Canal situation tell us about the bigger picture?
Well, one thing that's clear is that this idea of a, like, rules-based international order, you know, where countries generally play by the same set of rules, respect treaties, all that, it's facing some serious challenges.
Okay, so break that down for me. What does that actually look like in practice?
Well, think about it this way. Trump's willingness to threaten a sovereign nation, even if it's mostly bluster,
right.
it sets a kind of precedent. Other countries see that and think, well, if the U.S. can just disregard international agreements, maybe we can too.
So it's like a domino effect.
Yeah.
One country pushes the boundaries and suddenly everyone's questioning the rules.
Exactly. And that creates a lot of uncertainty, especially for countries like Panama. They're strategically important.
Right.
But they don't have the same kind of military or economic power as the big players.
Yeah, they're kind of stuck in the middle trying to navigate these shifting alliances and power dynamics.
Right.
It must be tough to balance their own interests with the pressure they're getting from all sides.
Yeah, it is. And this whole situation also really underscores just how significant this U.S.-China rivalry has become. The Panama Canal is a perfect example of that. It's strategically vital, and both countries see it as key to their global ambitions.
It's almost like a proxy conflict, right? The U.S. is worried about losing its grip on the region, and China's trying to take advantage of that to expand its influence.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And I think we're going to see this dynamic play out in more and more places around the world. It's not just about military might anymore. It's about economics, diplomacy, and strategic investments.
Okay, so for the average person listening to this, why should they care about what happens with the Panama Canal? How does it affect their everyday lives?
Well, on a practical level, the canal is a vital link in global supply chains. Any disruption to its operations, whether it's political instability, a trade war, whatever, could have a real impact on the prices of goods and services.
Yeah, no one wants to pay more for their coffee or their clothes because of some geopolitical squabble over a canal thousands of miles away.
Exactly, but it goes deeper than that, you know? This situation forces us to think about the kind of world we want to live in. Do we want a world where might makes right? Where powerful countries can just bully smaller nations and international agreements are meaningless.
Or a world where diplomacy and cooperation win out.
Right.
Where everyone plays by the same rules and countries respect each other's sovereignty.
Exactly. And the choices we make now as individuals and as a global community will determine which path we end up on.
That's a pretty powerful message.
Right.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you want our listeners to walk away thinking about?
I'd say this. In a world as interconnected as ours, we're all stakeholders in global events. What happens in Panama, whether it's about a canal or something else entirely, can have ripple effects that reach us all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a reminder that staying informed, engaging in these conversations, and understanding the complexities of our world is more important than ever.
That's a great note to end on. Thanks for joining us on this journey through the Panama Canal saga. Hopefully you learned something new, gain some fresh perspectives, and maybe even feel more empowered to navigate this complex world we live in.
My pleasure.
So until next time, keep diving deep, keep those questions coming, and most importantly, keep the conversation going.